Thank you, Carol. Take your Bibles now and turn to Luke 16, if you will, please. Luke 16. Is hell a postmodern dilemma? Hell a postmodern dilemma. A lot of people don't believe in hell anymore, is a simple way of saying that. Luke 16. And we'll start with verse 19, reading through the end of the chapter. Hope you'll find your place there and that you do have your Bible. Luke 16, beginning with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar man named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's a Hebraism that's talking about the heaven itself, or in the presence of God. So the angels, he was taken, carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now, there's always a debate, is this a parable or is this a true story? And I don't think that's the important part about it. Now, I don't believe it's a parable. I believe it's a true story. That's my position on it. But those who argue about that all day long sort of miss the point. The point is this. It is a reality. Hell is, in fact, a reality. Now, I think that most people in our culture today, and even around the world, do not want to believe that there is such a place that we call hell. And somehow people think, you know, we may be missing something, and there's some way around hell. That a good, loving, kind God will send nobody to hell. Now remember, God doesn't really send anybody to hell, but they send themselves. But let me tell you, there is a hell. According to the Bible, hell does exist. It is a real place. And we know that because Christ spoke about hell. Christ wouldn't lie about a thing like that. Christ wouldn't tell us there was a hell if there was no hell. And he said in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Who said that? Jesus said that. He said there's a place of fire. There's a place called hell that we know of in the Bible. Now, It doesn't depend on my ability or your ability to understand all about hell or what God's saying about hell, every little detail of it. The fact is that if he says there's a hell, there is a hell. And so it's like any other lordship question. And that is, if he is the Lord of our life, then how are we going to do anything but teach what he taught? If he's the Lord of my life and he says there's a hell, I've got to say my Lord says there is a hell. What he calls us to do, if he's Lord and we don't do it, then there's a problem with that. If he's Lord of my life and he's called me to do something, then I'm going to do it by the grace of God because he is in charge of my life. I can depend on what he says. And he says there is a hell. There is a real place called hell. And God has taught us very clearly in his word. Now, some people think that somehow, as I said, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out we missed something. And we're going to learn something new. And a lot of people think that. They think, you know, I know the preacher preaches on hell and the Bible says that, but somehow I just believe there's just something else there we don't quite understand. And when we get up there to heaven, God's going to explain it to us that he just used that, or it wasn't, there really isn't a hell or something of that nature. And that, by the way, everybody's going to go to heaven. It's just there's a good God and a loving God, and everybody is going to go to heaven. We'll find that out. Some kind of universalism, and that's what they teach, that everybody's okay and everybody's going to go to heaven. And we might discover that. But I'm telling you that God says and Jesus says there is a hell. Now, God is not going to compel you to go to heaven. God's not going to force you into heaven. He's not going to compel you to go to heaven. And I don't know why you'd want to go to heaven anyway. People say, well, why is there a hell? How can God have a hell? Well, why would you want to go to heaven anyway? Because they're going to sing songs that worship God up in heaven. You don't want to do that down here. They're going to give him praise and worship throughout all of eternity. And an unsaved person who doesn't believe the Bible and doesn't believe in hell, they don't want to give God praise. They don't want to honor him. They don't want to sing the songs of Zion. They don't want to worship God, but they're going to do that in heaven. Why would you even want to go to heaven anyway? God's not going to force you to go to heaven. You're not compelled to go there. You have a choice in the matter. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. You have a choice. And God clearly tells us we have that choice. But I can tell you this, God never intended for anybody to go to hell. God does not intend for you, if you're here, unsaved person, God does not intend for you to go to hell. What did he say in Matthew 25:41? He said it is prepared, a place prepared for whom? For the devil and his angels. Remember, there was a pre-cosmic rebellion. There was Lucifer, the high angel. And Lucifer said, because he was saturated with pride and God gave him choice, and Lucifer said, I think I'm going to be greater than God. I'm going to go past God and be above God and be greater than God. And I think I can hear God say, not in my lifetime. You're not going to be greater. And how long is God going to live? Forever and forever. It's not going to happen. And Lucifer and about a third of the angels made a mistake. They rebelled with him and they were kicked out of heaven. Now what are you going to do with the devil in eternity? There he is. There's Lucifer, the rebellious one who was kicked out of heaven. Now he's the prince and power of the air. And he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's the one that's going to try to get your mind on something else while I'm preaching. Or he's the one that's going to try to make you sleepy while I'm preaching. Or he's the one that's going to try to make you get sidetracked by something I say rather than believing the truth. The devil is just that way. And right now, God has allowed him that. But what's going to ultimately happen to him? Well, he can't stay on the earth. You know why? Because Peter tells us the earth is going to be melted away with a fervent heat. There's going to be a remaking, a paleogenesis, it's called, and there will be that remaking of the earth that is going to take place. So it wouldn't do for him to be there. because it's going to be destroyed by fervent heat. And God is going to give us a new heaven and an earth, a new earth, and God's not going to let him mess that up. He's not going to allow him in there. He allowed what he allowed when he was an angel and he got kicked out of heaven, but he's not going to allow him to contaminate like he did this earth, the new heaven and the new earth. He's not going to do that. So what's going to happen? He couldn't stay in heaven. He's not going to be able to stay on earth. And God's not going to let him contaminate the new heaven and the new earth. So God said, I'm going to have to rid him from the cosmos so that the cosmos can be holy and pure in everything I want it to be. And so I have to make a place for him, a place of evil and sin and rebellion. And that is a place called hell that is prepared for the devil and those who rebel with him, the angels that rebel with Satan. Now, one of these days, you're going to come to the end of your life. If Christ doesn't come in your lifetime, we're going to come to the end of our life. We're going to draw our last breath. What's going to happen? These two men died. They died. And they drew their last breath. And the saved, thank God, as we go into eternity, we know that God has prepared a place for us. His disciples are sort of concerned about him leaving. Jesus in John 14 said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, not rooms, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, when you die as a believer, don't worry about it. I've already gone ahead of you and I've prepared a place for you and you're going to go to heaven. What about the unsaved? They draw their last breath. Those who do not love him, those who don't want to sing praises, those who don't want to go to church, those who don't want to keep the Ten Commandments, those who don't want to serve God and pray to God and have God control their lives. And by the way, there is no purgatory. There is no limbo. There is no in-between place. Every once in a while, you'll actually hear a pope sort of indicate that in something that he says. But I'm telling you, there is no purgatory. There is no second chance. There is no limbo after life. You see, it's just not there. And the devil wants to fool people with that truth. But I'm telling you, there's only one place where people are going to go when they die and they have squandered away the grace of God, and that's hell, according to the Bible. Now, what kind of place is it? What kind of place is hell? Well, I think in our text, Jesus purposely went into depth to let us know what it is like. One thing is for sure, it is a place of eternal torment and agony. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
It is a place of eternal torment and agony. Now, what happened to the rich man when he died? He went to hell. He went to hell. Now, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. That's not why he went to hell. The Bible does say something about that. The Bible says it's harder for a rich man or a popular man or a well-known person or somebody with prestige and all of that. It's a little bit harder for them to find the truth and to go to heaven. Why? They're so wrapped up in those things. And the Bible does say that. He said it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. It's like a camel going through an eye of a needle. Not a needle that you sew with, but a little door in a big gate over in Israel where after dark they would take the camel and it was called the eye of the needle, and they could bring one camel in even though it was dark with all of its load, and they called that the eye of the needle. And God says that's very difficult for a rich man because a rich man is depending on all those things. There was another rich man God talked about in the Bible. You remember him? Another one. He came to him. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, I want you to go back. Jesus knew he was rich. And I want you to sell all you got and give to the poor. Now, you don't get to heaven by giving to the poor. That's not the way you get to heaven. And that is not the point of what he's talking about here in this situation. What he told him to do was basically, trust me, let me be your Savior and your Lord, and I'm asking you to go do this. And he did not want to do that. He went away what? Sorrowful. Why? Because he already had a God. His money, his materialism, his fame, his success was his God. And he just did not want to give up and repent and do what God was asking him to do. So he rebelled. But those things, it's rebellion, it's refusing to be saved, that will send a person to hell. And that's what sent this rich man to hell. But now here's the poor man, and the Bible says he died. And what happened to him? Well, he didn't lift up his eyes in hell. He went to Abraham's bosom. In one sense, he didn't really die, did he? The angels came to him and said, hey, we're here to escort you. And we're going to take you somewhere you're going to like. And the Bible calls it Abraham's bosom here. And we call it heaven. And you just come on and follow us. You just died, and now we're going to usher you right into the presence of Almighty God. By the way, he didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because somewhere along the way he had met Jesus Christ as his Savior. Somewhere along the way he had met God, and he had faith in the mercy of God, and he got saved. And he didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior in that sense. So the rich man died and was buried, and the poor man died and went to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man looked out and he saw Abraham's bosom way out there. He could see it. It was close enough for him to see it. There was a great gulf fixed, but the rich man could see Lazarus. The rich man was suffering and Lazarus was not. He was in heaven, as we would call it, Abraham's bosom. Now, I know the skeptics step in about this time and they say, well, now, if that's hell, then how can you have fire and not be consumed? How could you have fire in hell and the people not be consumed? Well, there's a dimension that we don't know much about that's going to be in eternity with our bodies, our glorified bodies, not only that, with those that go to hell. And then they ask the question, how can you be in outer darkness if there's a flame? How can there be out of darkness if there's a flame? I have a friend that's a pastor. One time some firemen asked him if he'd like to go experience what they do, to put on the whole garb and go up in one of the training missions and to do what they did. And he told me about it. He said, I've never been so scared in my life. He said, man, there was fire and there were flames, but I couldn't see in front of my hand. There was flames, but there was smoke and there was darkness and there was fire. All of that. And so they want to ask these questions as if there's no real hell and act like it's not there. Friend, I'm telling you, there is a real hell. There is a real place like that. Now, I'm glad that today, right now, that God is merciful. And it's not that kind of thing that we have to face, and especially as you get saved as a child of God. You don't have to face that. They keep asking questions. Well, is it a chemical fire? Is it this? Is it that? Is the other? I'm going to tell you, I don't know all the answers. Neither does anybody else. We have a lot of theories. And there are just some things we do not know. But I want to tell you one thing. I don't intend to go to hell to find out. And I would advise you not to do it. Because I know it's a rough place. One thing is clear. He said, I am tormented. I am tormented in this flame. Whatever it was, we can all agree that if the Bible is true, and it is, that he was tormented. You say, well, I don't know about that fire stuff. I can tell you one thing. He was warm. Amen? One thing for sure. He was warm. And he cried out. He wanted just a touch of water. Hell is a place of eternal torment. Not only that, it's a place of memory. Hell is a place of memory. And I believe that is clear. Where he said in verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. He said, I want you to remember some things. Listen, a person who dies and goes to hell will have memory. They will remember every message that they heard. If you're here today and you're lost and you don't get saved, you'll remember this message I'm preaching in hell someday. And it'll haunt you. There will be memory in hell. There will be people that have witnessed to you time and time again and said, you need to be saved. Maybe it's your dear wife, or maybe your husband, or maybe mama or daddy, or maybe it's your children that have witnessed to you and said, mama, you need to get saved. Daddy, you need to get saved. And they've told you that, and you don't get saved, and you die without Christ in hell. You'll remember over and over and over and over again the times that those dear people tried to get you saved. Some of you will remember your dear mother and daddy praying for you. You'll remember that they wanted you to be saved. You'll remember they lived a good life in your presence, and they exemplified the love of Christ, though they were not perfect. And they tried to get you to accept Christ. And they said, I don't want you to go to hell. We want you to be saved. And you die without the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, I think, those days. And then it'll be a place of separation from God. A place of separation from God. Look at verse 26 in our text. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. It's a place of memory, but a place of separation. Oh, it's a place of fire, yes. Yes, it's a place of memory, all of that. But I believe the most tragic thing is it is a place where you will be separated from the very love and good and presence of Almighty God. Forever. Forever without end, separated from God and goodness. And he said, there's nobody can come to you. Oh, listen, I would imagine there are people who wish they could go and rescue some loved ones out of hell, but it can't happen. It's not going to happen. As much as we might want to. When they die and they haven't received Christ, then they're going to go to hell. We can't go get them and they can't come with us. This is what he's saying. There's no way to cross that divide. There's no way that it's going to happen. What a sad thing to be separated from good and from Almighty God. Now, it's not that way right now. I'm glad it isn't. It isn't that way right now. God is so merciful to people now. Everywhere, all over this globe, God is still dealing in mercy. And so when it rains on the wicked, the just as well as the unjust. I mean, you go out there. I mean, my daddy was a cotton farmer, and here's an old guy. My daddy went to church, deacon, loved the Lord, lay preacher, and lived a good exemplary life. And there was a guy on the other side over there, and he was drank and was mean and gambled and all ran around on his wife. And guess what? It rained on both crops. Now, sometimes I think God gave a little edge, but basically, God let it rain, and God lets the sunshine shine on the wicked as well as those that are saved. And God does that right now. And God lets you eat as a wicked person his good food. And it belongs to him, doesn't it? The earth and all that is therein belongs to God. And he'll let you do all of that. But one day, no more. If you die lost, no more of God's general grace that you would experience in hell, separated from God. Separated from God in all that is good. Now, we learned something else too, that in order to get saved, the Bible is enough. In other words, what the Bible says is enough. Go back to verse 28. He had something that our church needs and doesn't have, most of us. He had vision for the lost, enough to say something about it. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them. Let him go back. Let Lazarus go back, Lord, that he can tell my five brothers, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they got Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he begged him again. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If Lazarus could just go back and tell them they'd repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to the Bible, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He said, you're wrong about that, rich man. It's not going to happen. The Bible is enough. Hey, this Bible has been overwhelming in arresting people and saving their souls by the millions over all these years since that statement was made. Thank God for the power of the Word of God. And he said, they will not believe even if somebody is raised from the dead. And he proved it, didn't he? Because Jesus arose, did he not? Amen. I believe he came out of the grave. 500 witnesses saw him and said, he's alive, he's alive. That's Jesus, no doubt about it, and many others. And Jesus Christ in his post-resurrection ministry spent time down here before he ascended so that others could know that he was alive. Amen. Jesus arose. And by the way, he's the only one that has. I'm sorry, Tiger. Buddha's not going to get you there. And I hope he comes to Christ. I'd love to see him get saved. He needs to be saved. Anybody else needs to be saved that believes in that. But I'm telling you, Buddha didn't die and go to the grave and come out of the grave. Muhammad didn't either. But Jesus did. And he proved it all over this world. It's been proven. And tens of millions have been saved since then. But tens of millions, though they knew and lived in that day, rejected him, even though he arose from the grave. God was right, wasn't he? The Father was right. Even if somebody dies and is buried and arises from the grave, they still won't believe him. And some are here today who won't. And they're all around us in our culture who still will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, though he died and was buried and arose. Tens of millions still rejecting him. But he said, just believe the Bible. If you won't believe this, friend, you're not going to believe anything else any better. If you won't believe somebody died and was buried and arose, you're not going to believe this. It's the Word of God, and it tells the truth. Just believe that. Bertrand Russell was one of the most famous atheists that ever lived. And I think somewhere in the 70s he died. He was living stateside then. He wrote a book, and he hated Christians. He hated Christianity. And he wrote a book, Why I'm Not a Christian. And I mean, it's just very blasphemous. Well, he had to die too. He came down to the end of his life, and there was a nurse that had been waiting on him and taking care of him, and there's some very tedious things that have to be done during those times, and she was there. And that went on a long period of time, as many times it does when they are convalescing and then maybe not able to get over that. And this happened to him. But he made it to 96 years of age. The day came when that nurse and two friends of his were standing by his bed. And he came to the end of his life and he was drawing his last breaths, those last times. Here's a man that had spent his lifetime, a philosopher, an educator, mathematician, scientist, name all of those things. He was that. And he had spent his whole lifetime trying to convince people to not believe in God and to have no confidence in Christ and Christianity. Now it's time for him to die. And here I quote are the last words of Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist. Just before he died, he said, all is blackness and darkness. There is no hope. Wow. He was dying. All is blackness. All is darkness. There is no hope. Have you ever seen an unsaved person die? Have you ever been by their bed when they die? One time I went door to door at a house to house, and we met this older couple. I'm not sure if Carolyn was with me, somebody, we were out visiting, and he was a geologist. they came to our church. And he sat in the services and seemed to like me and my wife and kept coming a little bit. But his wife had a bad heart attack. And they rushed her to the hospital, put her in the intensive care. And he called and asked if I would go up and see her. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to do that. So I think he called in the morning. I went up in the afternoon, if I remember the story exactly right. It's been a long time ago. But when I went up there, he stopped me before I went in. He was out there waiting. He said, I don't know what's wrong with, and he named her name. He said, she just seems so upset. She seems scared. She seems afraid. Could you go in and do something to calm her down? I said, I'll do my best, sir. I went in, went to the bed. She was a very nice lady. She obviously was in serious and critical condition. And so I talked to her, and I very graciously asked her this question. I didn't say to her in that condition, do you know if you die right now, you're going to heaven? I said, have you come to the place in your spiritual maturity, you know for sure heaven's going to be your home? And her eyes widened and she started weeping and started crying. And I think she was under deep conviction. And I was just getting ready to tell her how to be saved. And the geologist walked in and saw her crying. And he said, you get out of here. And he ran out very animated and said to the nurses, don't ever let that preacher back in here. He's upset my wife. I think she was ready to be saved. I don't know if she got saved. I hope she didn't go out into eternity lost because of his attitude. Friend, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Are you saved? You say, yes, preacher, I am saved. Well, are you concerned like you ought to be concerned about lost people? Enough to serve, enough to give, enough to be faithful to church, enough to witness, enough to be bold because you're filled with the Holy Spirit to ask people and tell them how to get to heaven. This rich man that died and was in hell had more vision than the average Baptist that claims to be saved and born again, because he said, please send somebody to tell my five brothers, don't come here, you don't have to. There's a way to escape hell, and it's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed a minute. While no one's looking around, if you know for sure you've trusted Christ, nobody looking around, nobody moving around or leaving unless it's emergency, please. If you're here and you know for sure that you're saved and you're born again, this is a very serious time, invitation time. Would you lift your hand and say, yes, I know for sure. According to the Bible, if I died today, I'm going to heaven. I know that. Just lift your hand. All right, thank you. May put them down. That's just about everybody here. You know your need, and you know what God's spoken to you about. Maybe it's to have a broken heart and ask God to break your heart afresh for souls today. That'd be a good thing. Maybe you need to come and join our church. You're saved. You need a church home. Or you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Or maybe there's something you need to get right between you and God so that your life will make a difference in the lives of unsaved people. I don't know. But if you couldn't lift your hand, dear friend, you have a choice. Don't you want to go to heaven? I mean, compare the two. There is no comparison. There is a real hell. The Bible says it. Jesus proclaimed it. And there are two kinds of people that believe in it. Those who believe the Bible and those who are there. Please come and receive Christ as your Savior. Father, bless in the invitation. It is yours. The word has been preached. The truth of the Bible. I pray that unsaved people that are here, those who may not be sure, may just be hoping or thinking, maybe I am, but they want to be sure today, help them to come to Christ and let us show them how to receive Christ as Savior. I pray you'd do your will and your work. We'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, save that soul as nearest hell.